The following is a presentation of Second City Works, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Plus.
Welcome to Second City Works, Getting to Yes And. I'm Kelly Leonard, creative advisor for the Second City. We are brought to you by Second City Works, which is the B2B arm of the world-famous Second City Theater. You can find us at secondcityworks.com. And this is more than just a podcast. It's about getting to the yes and moment in your work and your life. The term yes and is a key pillar of improvisation. It's at the front end of creativity. It's about building on ideas and making discoveries together. This is Getting to Yes And.
Working all day for a mean little man with a clip on tie and a rub on tan. He's got me running around the office like a dog around a track. But when I get back home, you're always there to rub my back.
My guest today on Getting to Yes And is Craig Dubitsky. Craig is the founder and CEO of Hello Products, a company that Inc. magazine named as one of the 25 companies that are changing the world. Hello is an oral care brand that is both seriously friendly and a serious disruptor in an $8 billion industry. Prior to Hello, Craig co-founded EOS Products, whose spherical lip balm has become iconic. Craig is also a founding board member of Method. Craig, welcome to Getting to Yes And.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I should mention that we're taping this podcast during the Democratic National Convention, just on the heels of the Republican National Convention. And I note this because in talking about the premise and philosophy behind Hello, Craig has said that, quote, the whole oral hygiene industry is based on fear and shame. And you note that most oral care products talk about killing, eliminating, and banishing. And at times, I don't know if we were talking about media coverage of the conventions or toothpaste.
Well, you know, it's ironic that to build on that theme, to yes and that theme a little bit.
Yes.
Like Democrats and Republicans, the whose colors, there's a blue and red theme, right?
Right.
And in oral care, it's the same thing. There's a big blue brand and a big red brand.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And, so it's very much like the Cold Wars. You know, there's a blue brand and a red brand. So I kind of see the world. There's all this red and blue out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's, Coke is red and Pepsi is blue and Target is red and Walmart is blue and Walgreens is blue and CVS is red and United is blue and Delta is red and Blue is blue and Virgin is red. There's all this red and blue, but shit, I want some chartreuse.
Right.
I want something a little more, interesting, as we like to say.
Yeah, some lime.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You got to shake things up a little bit.
So let's shift. I definitely want to talk about color and design and all that. But I want to point out, and your website is great. And the language on the website is so unusual for a company like yours. And I just want to quote what it says on there. It says, Hello is not just a brand. Hello is a group of people committed to a bold and simple idea that things shouldn't suck. They shouldn't be frustrating or ugly. And they definitely shouldn't force you to choose between what's good for you and what you love. You should have both.
Yes. Thank you for reading that. Life is short, right? We make compromises all over the place. Why are we compromising on the stuff we use to take care of ourselves? It's ridiculous to me. So just a fun thing, if you're on our website, mm-hmm. and you're sitting in front of a computer, it has to be a laptop or a desktop, something with an actual physical keyboard. But I love surprises, and there's a great set of Easter eggs in our website.
Yeah.
So if you just type the word hello at any time, but it has to be, again, from a physical keyboard, not a tablet or a smartphone, you'll be amused. So just crank up the volume and try it a bunch of times, and I don't want to give it away, but you'll chuckle.
Yeah, so I was going to give it away, so I won't do that now. It is. There's all these Easter eggs. It's really, really awesome. So in terms of this philosophy of yours, what's the chicken and egg scenario on this? Was this something that before you got into business, you thought this way and you applied it to your business, or did you discover it once you were out in the working world?
That's a good question. I think for me, we're all built a little differently, right? And the magic comes in trying to figure out how to turn the ways in which you're a little different into something that might actually, put a roof over your head.
Right.
Or not hurt anybody that put a roof over your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I've basically been an arbitrageur my whole life without even knowing what that word meant.
Oh, so
I've always seen little cracks in everything. And to quote one of my favorites, Leonard Cohen, you know, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm always looking for these cracks, and which sounds really dirty and perverse, so I don't mean it that way. But, you know, I'm looking for these areas that people just haven't necessarily focused on. And I was like, as a little kid, and it just sort of carried through. I used to be a trader and then a derivatives trader. And I literally was a currency arbitrageur, and I traded base metals and things. I've just always looked for these things that got overlooked for some reason and to me seemed very, very obvious. And I got involved with oral care particularly because of one thing. I was in a store looking to buy some toothpaste, mm-hmm. and what jumped out at me were lots of pictures of extracted teeth on the products.
Oof.
And if you are next time in your favorite store, take a look. You will see extracted teeth that are three-dimensional holograms and extracted teeth that have lots of beautifully orchestrated circles floating around them. And I was like, the last thing I want to see is an extracted tooth. How did this become the global icon for, you know, like healthy living? It's just crazy to me. So I started looking at extracted teeth everywhere and looking at ingredients. I saw this one ingredient that kind of freaked me out, which was saccharin. And I was like, saccharin? They banned that stuff from diet soft drinks when I was a kid because it gave laboratory rats, you know, tumors. Why is this in these products? It just didn't make any sense to me. So the more I looked at it, the more I just saw things that really kind of freaked me out. And I thought, you know, things were kind of ugly. So what if they weren't so ugly looking? And what if, you know, it goes in your mouth? It's pretty simple. Like if it goes in your mouth, it should taste kind of a low bar, right?
Right.
And none of this stuff tasted so good. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait, it's ugly. It's filled with some stuff that scares me. The brands were around. My grandfather was around. And I saw my grandfather's teeth. You know, they looked pretty crappy. It's like, why would I use the same stuff my grandfather used? So that was kind of it, you know. I'm like, everyone uses it. You can't disintermediate it. No one says, oh, my God, the stock market made a new high. Mm-hmm. Interest rates really low. The Fed kept them stable. Let's brush five times today.
Right.
Like, nobody does that. And no one does the inverse and goes, oh, my God, I'm really scared, honey. We're only going to brush once this week.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's a stable staple. And yet it hasn't sort of been updated, in my view, what I think about updating. It just hasn't happened. They just slapped the word new on the same old shit. And I'm like, that's not interesting. That's not cool. And I thought, you know, they call these categories personal care, but to me, they really were kind of like impersonal care.
Yeah.
So that's why on our website, you can Skype with me. Cause I was like, I want to be like a company that, you know, like a company you could join, not just a company that made a product you could buy.
Right. And, in that way, you're ahead of the curve in terms of that, in terms of the way the world works now. And I'm hearing two things which I think are really important, which is, you know, you have a clearly an orientation towards design and wanting things to look and feel good and pleasing. But then you also have this curiosity. And when you talk about, there's an improv term, which is about, it's by a teacher and actor named Richard Thomas, where he says, dive into the crack in the game. So when you're improvising, you want to go to those places and investigate places that everyone else is trying to stay away from.
Oh, totally. That's beautiful. Yeah. When we were coming up with our ideas for the website, I actually said, what if our whole website were just Skype or just FaceTime? Like, what if there was nothing on our website except a button you had to push to activate your camera so you could Skype with us? Like, what if our whole website was just Skype? Mm-hmm. And everyone said, no, you can't do that. And I said, like, technically we can't do that? Or, like, what do you mean we can't do that?
Right.
And they said, well, I mean, I guess technically you could do that, but, like, you can't do that. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, you know, people go to the website to, you know, to like, find out where to buy your product. And I said, well, then I'll tell them. Well, you can't because, you know, people go to your website because they want to read about the ingredients. And I said, well, then I'll tell them what's in it. And, you know, I kept responding like that to everything. And they said, but people might do that at, like, you know, midnight in their, you know, in their underwear from their attic. And I said, well, then that'll be really awkward for them. But, you know, I'll pick up and I'll tell them where they could buy it or if they have a question about, you know, the flavor or whatever. And everyone told me no. And the compromise was, well, you know, how about if there's like a Skype button?
Right.
And it's been really awesome. And I think, you know, it was just not trying to do something for the sake of being different and cute. I just thought it'd be really cool. Like when you start a company, you have this really unique opportunity, because I'm an entrepreneur, right? I've been trying to create things for a while now. And I think I must just like words that I can pronounce in French, like entrepreneur, arbitrageur. I must just like jure.
Yeah.
But in any event, I look at the idea of starting a business as this really unique opportunity, because in life you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family, as they say. Mm-hmm. But when you're starting a business, when you're creating a company, it gives you a chance to really sort of like choose your family, because the people you work with become really, really not only important because they're important for your business, but they're important to you emotionally as well as professionally. And it's just this really, really cool, unique chance. So it's like I wanted to push on everything, like who we hire, how we hire people. Like, are we hiring them or are they joining us? There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I want to create all this really like emotional innovation around how you start a business together and how people can interact with you, because I think that's a big part of it. Because if we don't know how people are thinking, or if the only way to know about it is because someone conducted a focus group, then we're missing out on everything. Like, that's an old-fashioned way to do it. Like,
yeah.
Why would we do that? We don't need to think that way. We need to, you know, like, do stuff as we feel it.
So I'm curious.
Because eight people told us what to do.
Is your what's a day in the office at Hello like? What you know? Are there dogs? Is there music?
All the time. In fact, one of my most exciting purchase I made for our office was this big Bluetooth Apple AirPlay speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time I get frustrated is if the Wi-Fi gets wonky, or if we don't take proper turns letting people play whatever they want to play, because it's always fun to figure out, like, what the hell is this mm-hmm. playlist and whose playlist, you know, is this? It's really, really cool. So, music all the time. And, in fact, I have a guitar by my desk. There's always music here because you got to have music, right? I mean, life without music is not really enjoyable. So music all the time. Dogs as often as possible. We used to have Harbor was in here every day. I mean, literally every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And Harbor is a she, and she belongs to Aaron, our head of supply chain and logistics, who actually moved to Chicago recently. And Harbor's with him. But she was just back visiting, which was great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so Harbor's usually here, or always was here every day. And my dog comes in every once in a while. So we have a couple of other dogs that come in, you know, periodically during the week. So, yes, there's always music. There's always dogs. Yes, there are some adult beverages around for after work time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good food and, like, tunes always going. And it's a big open space because good ideas can happen anywhere. And that's part of the plan. You know, the chairs are on wheels and we can move around, and someone in the finance role might have the greatest marketing idea ever. So, like, why would you stifle that with walls?
Right.
So we only really have four walls.
Wow. That's great. I mean, you know, I'm very lucky having worked, you know, basically my entire adult life at a place like Second City because the value system is based on the improv principles, which are all the things you're talking about, which foster a sense of play, which is about make your partner look good, which is about using failure and making mistakes work for you. And then, you know, when that's your core, when that's at the center of your work, there's no way it's not going to bleed out into the larger business. Not to say we're not, you know, imperfect. We make those kinds of mistakes all the time. But I think for startup communities and certainly other businesses that we work with, that's not their starting orientation. In fact, it's usually the opposite. It's a lot of silos, and it's a lot of walls. And so we get brought in to help, you know, at least, you know, emotionally in an idea sense to help break those down.
It's fantastic to hear. I feel very lucky. I mean, I'm the luckiest person you just met.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get to dream things up and do everything we can to try to make them real. And we always say, like, good ideas, like, no one has sole dominion of good ideas. Right. So the idea is share all the time at will. Like, there's no reason to hold back. Mm-hmm. And we work hard to try to not be thick-skinned or really proprietary about stuff.
Yep.
Because that just gets in the way.
Yep, 100%. I do want to talk to you about your time at EOS, in particular, because I think some of the design stuff is a precursor for the stuff you've done at Hello. So I have a 14-year-old daughter, Eleanor, and EOS lip balm is ubiquitous among her class. And in fact, when I told her I'd be talking to you, this is like two nights ago, she informed me that the girls in her now eighth grade class were so addicted to their EOS lip balm that their teacher, Carol Trisciano, created designated lip balm time.
And
it's,
wow.
It's twice a day. It's once in the morning and once in the afternoon when they're allowed to take out those colorful spheres and take them out in the classroom. And then apparently one of the boys just pulled his chapstick out, and she's like, no, that counts with you too. There's designated lip balm time.
That's intense.
Isn't that great?
Well, if we can get Carol, the teacher's name.
Yep.
If we can get her to get the kids to brush their teeth after lunch with some soap, that would be fantastic. Wow, that's really incredible. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you create because you're compelled to create, right? You have an idea, you mm-hmm. want to do stuff, you want to make stuff, but you really have no idea what's really going to happen with it, right?
Right.
So full disclosure, disclaimer, I'm all Hello all the time. I don't have any affiliation with EOS anymore, mm-hmm. but I was the co-founder, and I was really the creative lead, and I'm the guy who sat there with a sculptor and two design folks we were working with, and sat there and made that thing.
Yeah.
And I'm also the guy who came up with names like Honeysuckle Honeydew and Summer Fruit, you know, these flavors, because I made those for my wife, actually.
Oh.
Which is kind of crazy. She had become allergic to pitted fruits, of all things, like out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a flavor that was peach, plum, and nectarine for her, so she could get those, you know, flavors without getting into an allergic reaction. And that was too long a name, peach, plum, and nectarine. So that became Summer Fruit. Mm-hmm. And we moved, and she was very upset when we moved, and we had honeysuckle in our backyard. So I made Honeysuckle Honeydew because alliteration is always good.
Yep.
And melon just doesn't sound as good.
Nope.
So I'm very lucky to have been a part of that, and I'm really happy so many people really have a lot of heart for product and the brand, and I'm sort of the lunatic who fought over the sound it makes when it closes or opens, and the durometer of the soft touch outer casing of the product, and, you know, being inspired by the fact that a modern woman's purse was actually her gym bag, her diaper bag, her yoga bag, her mm-hmm. computer bag, her overnight bag, and realizing that she should be able to stick her hand in this dark cavern and be able to pull something out just by feel. That's, you know, that's like the stuff I really am obsessed about. And to have something that's adorned that you could play with or display openly, as opposed to leave it out on your desk. I don't like words like leave out, because, you know, maybe as a kid I was left out. I was the last one picked for the kickball team or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I like leaving it out. I want to display as much more proactive and positive sounding. So, yeah, these are the things I obsess about. So the O in EOS has a split in it, if you look at it closely, because when the tool makes the actual package, sort of pops the pieces out, there's usually a little parting line and, you know, a little gate mark from where the tool sort of separates from the piece of plastic. And I couldn't have that because it just would ruin the simplicity and the beauty of the thing, the form. So in the middle of the O, there's a little space, and that's where that little gate mark gets hidden. So I am admittedly obsessed with this stuff. Like, how can the durometer of that outer casing be soft enough so it feels good, but not so hard that it tracks all the lint in your purse or your pocket? Like, that's the stuff I flip out about. And with Hello, I freaked out about that stuff too. Like, we have this little breath spray that we designed with BMW, and the last adjustment was 1/20,000th of an inch. Because I want it to click a certain way when you open it and close it, and still make sure it fills properly because there's liquid in the spray. And, you know, it's just, people ask me about design a lot, and all I say is it's just about being thoughtful. And maybe that's a nicer word than obsessed, but it's just about being thoughtful. What does it feel like? What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it make you feel when you look at it? What does it make you feel physically and emotionally when you touch it and you interact with it? That's all I think about all the time. So I looked at toothpaste tubes, and I'm like, those are ugly. As soon as you touch it, it changes its shape.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just doesn't look cool. And people fight about this crap at home, like, oh, honey, you squeezed the tube from the wrong end. Like,
yep.
Who decided there was a right end or a wrong end of the tube?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wanted a tube. My brief was really short and simple. It was literally one sentence. It should look the same the day you discard it as the day you bought it and be pretty enough to display. That's it. People are like, that's the whole brief? I'm like, yeah, that's the whole brief. Like, it's hard to do simple. So we spend a lot of time trying to do simple, just right.
Right. And what's interesting, too, as I'm listening to you, I'm realizing that I think it's a rare quality. I might be wrong, to be a dreamer and be so detail oriented. And I think, you know, for many of us, we sort of feel like we're one or the other. And then when you combine those things, I think that's where true invention happens. And now, as I think this through, I'm like, oh wait, yeah, that's what improvisation is. It's incredible skill that's built up over a period of time in how to create something out of nothing with others. That's what we're doing with improvisation. And then allowing the art to take over in the moment. And it strikes me that's no different for you when you're dreaming up these incredibly detailed products.
I think it's really the same thing. Like I joke around that I have the best job ever. The gig is to see the invisible and work with really, really awesome and talented people to try to make the invisible real. And I think it's interesting, like when we talk about dreams, because you talked about detail, right?
Yeah.
And I think when you're in the dream, it's very vivid because there is so much detail. But mm-hmm. then you wake up, and you can't really remember all the detail, right? You remember
yep.
like bits and pieces. And so to me, it means the more you're in the dream and you're truly living the dream, all the detail's there. So I kind of don't want to wake up, you know?
Mm-hmm. that's
and we're lucky.
Yeah. That's great. I've talked before about, I think earlier, where I said there's this improv adage about making mistakes work for you. And when I was doing my research on you, you have like the best example of that happening to you when you were with Method. And Clorox challenged you legally to get you to stop using the image of a daisy on your packaging. what did you do to make that mistake work for you?
Well, I have to say... I have to give all the credit in the world to the two founders of Method. It's Eric Ryan and Adam Lowry. So I was just on the board at mm-hmm. the time, and so I was a founding board member at Method. So I didn't have to physically do any of this stuff. This was all their genius. So I don't want to even attempt to take any credit for it.
Yep.
My only good fortune with Method is that I was lucky enough to meet them really, really early
mm-hmm.
and appreciate that there was this big idea there. But to your specific question. You know, they get the cease and desist letter from Clorox, and it says, you know, we own the daisy. Like you're in violation of our trademarks and our visual elements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we've appropriated for our brand. That's
yes.
not the way they put it, obviously.
No,
but clearly that's what they had done. They had appropriated the daisy, and the Method guys basically they've been using a daisy for a long time. Not the daisy, just daisies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no, like, the daisy didn't have an agent, and, you know, there was no special requirements for the daisy, no green M&Ms, you know, behind a door for the daisy. It was just, they used to basically put daisies in the product to show that the daisies could survive, that the products were, you know, filled with some good ingredients and they wouldn't kill flowers so fast. So they've been using the daisy as a symbol for a long time. And Pops Clorox with a brand they had created called Greenworks, and they said, we own the daisy. So the Method guys created a video asking people to vote their conscience. Like, you should vote. Who should have the daisy? Should it be Method? Should it be Clorox? Or should it be Mother Nature? And the idea was, you know, as much as they'd love for everyone to say, yes, Method has the daisy, you know, the reality of it is we think Mother Nature really should have the Daisy. And this is really in earlier days of YouTube, and the idea of creating a video that could go viral was not really on anyone's mind at the time. So the Method guys were really, really very forward-thinking in this regard, in many regards, but that one in particular. And they posted this video, and it got thousands of views, and lo and behold, the case was dropped. The suit was dropped. So these things happen. You know, I think the old way of defending your brand, if you're a big company, is to just, you know, just you have lawyers on staff. You just go after people. And I think that that's turned out to not work out so well for a lot of big companies. There are a lot of stories that have been written about other brands that have been, you know, approached from a legal perspective from larger incumbent category dominating brands. And it hasn't really worked out well. That was an old way of dealing with things. And now, because there are these ready platforms available for free to use to get the word out, you know, people have bullshit meters. And they go, whoa, wait a minute. We see what's going on here. The big guy's being a bully.
Right.
And, you know, it just, again, that was an old way of dealing with upstarts or people that were maybe encroaching. It was just to like slap them with some legal nonsense and scare them off. But you know, times have changed. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, and you talk, you know, you talk about the importance of being, and I quote, small, quirky, and accessible, which I love that combination. Is there that chance if you're too successful that you're going to lose that ability to be so agile?
You know what? I'd love to be.
I'd love to find out.
Dilemma.
Yeah,
I'd love to take that dilemma by the horns and wrestle it to the ground and then tickle it till it cried in glee. You know, that would be fantastic. You know, I don't really know. I think I think if you try to plan too far out that like one day we'll be big, you'll probably never get there. I think part of the magic comes in like sort of not so much stepping on the gas, but taking your foot off the brake a little bit. And if you can't, like, go with the flow, because, by the way, whenever you start a business, it's funny to me that we're talking, maybe funny is the wrong word, but you know, ironic and interesting, because our whole business is about improv, because every day something different happens.
Right.
Every day. So it's not the same as being on stage, and I'm guessing I've never done improv, but, you know, where it's happening in the moment. Man, it's happening here in the moment, too, except our moments might be, it might be a day. At a big company, they might be a lot longer than that, those cycles. But for here, every day there's some other wild thing that happened, another opportunity, something that went wrong, something that went great, something that we never even thought of. It just fell across the transom. And it's how you act and how you behave. You know, there's some things you can't control, but you could always control how you respond. And I love the idea of having not reckless abandonment, but thoughtful and conscientious abandonment of certain norms so that we can respond appropriately, whether appropriate means quick or whether appropriate means with a chuckle or if appropriate means with a level of seriousness that maybe a startup traditionally wouldn't bring to the table. That's kind of what the job is. Like, that's what we have to do. And I think if we start taking ourselves way too seriously, we'll never be true to what this whole thing is about, which is bringing something fun and different to a category that's kind of been in this stasis for so long. And if we get stiff about it, you know, that'll suck. And people will be able to tell, okay, that sucks. These guys are just like everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, a lot of people ask us at Second City, are you know, well, you're teaching people to be funny, you're teaching them comedy. And actually, we're not. At the beginning classes, which are just about improvisation, they're really just about human behavior. And what we always let them know is that the thing is, it's going to end up funny if it's true and if it's real. That's what people are laughing at. And really, we're talking about allowing you to show your human frailty, your human ego, all that stuff, because it's really hilarious. And it is. And we get to comedy later. But really, the first thing is unlocking people to orient themselves to think differently, because we're not handed a script, you know, not when you enter into Second City, but also when you enter into your business. No one is handing you a script. And if they are, that's probably a pretty shitty job.
Yeah, then it's time to run. Like, when you start doing everything like everybody else, how could you expect the outcome to be good? or be different. And by the way, if it were so easy that there were a script, everybody would be doing the exact same thing.
Right.
It's like, this is the uniform. You wear khakis and a white button-down shirt. Well, then everyone's wearing khakis and a white button-down shirt. And, you know, like the pendulum swings the other way. Then everyone's going color. Oh, everyone's got long hair. Then someone gets short hair. And all of a sudden, we have to all go short hair. Then it's long hair. I mean, you should never want to conform. And the things that make us the same aren't about conformity. They're actually about humanity. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference. Like, we share so much, and yet we go to such great lengths to show how we're different. And that is sometimes missing the magic, I think. The magic comes in sharing the humanity of it all. So if you screw up, you know, that's human. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's not showing that you're vulnerable, it's showing that you're sensitive and you're aware. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really a good thing to be, sensitive and aware. I don't view that as a weakness. I think ignoring it is a weakness. Ignoring that you could fail is a weakness. Ignoring that you're taking a chance or that you should take a chance, that's a weakness. The weakness is in not taking the chance.
Right.
Because anyone could sit back and do nothing. That's for wussies.
Yeah. We talk a lot about, you know, the idea in business. So many people check their humanity at the door before they come in. And we're like, why would you not use that toolbox? Empathy, resiliency, all that stuff is absolutely at your disposal to make you a better worker, which is a better person, too.
Well, and how could you ever hope to identify opportunity without empathy?
Yeah.
Like you, if you're not feeling something about something that's going on in the world or about something you wish were going on in the world, you're not really living, you know. Mm-hmm. You're that's just a boring existence. And if your job, if your gig is to try to better things for yourself, better things for the people you work with, better things for the environment, whatever it might be, if you're not empathic and sensitive enough to realize that something may not be optimized, and maybe that's too clinical a term, but maybe something's just pissing you off, something's mm-hmm. upsetting you. If you're not sensitive enough to pick up on that and diligent enough to say, maybe there's a way to make this better or funnier, right, or whatever it might be, define better any way you want, mm-hmm. more natural, funnier, whatever it might be, then you're missing on an untold number of opportunities. Because once you unlock one thing, you then unlock another and another, and things you never would have even known were there. And I'm sure that's kind of what improv is all about.
Yep.
You're just unlocking and unlocking and unlocking. It's you know, there's not that big a difference between, I think, business, people trying to start businesses or trying to build brands or trying to find new opportunities and trying to find opportunities riffing with other people. It's always about people.
Yep.
Like, that's all we're playing off of. Like, what didn't people like about oral care? Oh, it tasted bad. It was scary. Like, this is just me riffing, you know? I was like, yeah. People were scared. And people felt like they were being threatened, you know? If you're not whitening, you're frightening. Mm-hmm. If, you know, your breath doesn't look like it has hummingbirds and flowers coming out when you speak and sunshine, you know, you're not going to get the job. It's going to go poorly. Hmm. People were just told that they need to be scared and ashamed of stuff. And the big benefit was, you know, the dentist wouldn't hurt you too much next time you went.
Right.
And, like, that low, those are several low bars in my mind. I'm like, that's how they sell this stuff. Like, we could do better than that. What if we just sold it because we said, hey, we're friendly. You're friendly. We have friendly products. We can tell you where we make stuff. We can tell you what's in it. You could read the back of our fluoride-free toothpaste, and it tells you what every ingredient does. Even next to natural flavors in the ingredient statement, it just says yum in parentheses. Like, we didn't have to do that. We did it because, well, why not? If you're actually looking, it's there for you. You know, if you're not looking, that's okay. It just, you know, it tastes good. Maybe that's enough.
I love it.
Just keep putting it out there.
You know, I hesitate to even ask you to complete the assignment because, like, you're such a natural yes and guy anyway. But I'll go ahead and bring it up. We end these podcasts asking our guests to share a yes and moment in their life, a time when they could have said no, but instead they didn't just say yes, they said yes and to something. Do you have a story for us?
Oh, my God. Wow. Do I have a yes and story that doesn't involve, like, yes and I'll take the fries?
It could totally be about taking the fries.
No. I generally take the fries.
Uh-huh. And, me too.
Luckily, this is there's no visual involved today. It's just audio.
But, for both of us.
Yes. Well, I try my best to make things easy for those who have to look at me. But a yes and moment. Shoot, maybe I don't know. I might have to yes and I'll get back to you on that.
That's fine.
I feel like my whole life, honestly, is one giant yes and I really do mean that. Like I joked around earlier, but I'll tell you, I wasn't really joking, that I'm the luckiest person you just met. Mm-hmm. And I've yes and my way through everything, because people said, well, you can't do this. I'm like, yes, and like people said, oh, method will never work. And I say, yes, and people really care about design. And maybe it wasn't a true yes and that way. It was not in those exact words. But every time someone told me no, which, by the way, is is on a daily basis.
Yes, right.
I always say, well, I love it that there are people who say no, because they're generally really smart. And that means they're not going to compete. They're not going to try. Mm-hmm. So they just cleared the runway for me. So my whole professional career has been one giant yes. I was the youngest member at one point of the New York Cotton Exchange and the Financial Instruments Exchange, if you can believe that. I used to be a trader.
Wow.
T-R-A-D-E-R as opposed to T-R-A-I-T-O-R. Mm-hmm. And I saw all this weird pricing and again, arbitrage. And people said, like, it's not there. You can't do it. And I'm like, that's great, because there's people who are really smart. They have a lot more capital than I do. And, they went to fancier schools than I did. And they're not even going to look at this. That's awesome. And I uncovered all sorts of mispricings. And then I did on the London Metals Exchange. Same thing. People miss stuff. And people said that, no one cares about dish soap method. That'll never work. Like, you can't do that. It'll never work. It was always maybe less about the end. It was more about everyone saying no.
Yeah.
So I've always been like no to me is like a sign that I should look a little deeper, because if people are quick to say no, I'm always like, they're missing something. There's something here. It's too easy for them to say no. Then what's going on here? So it's the same thing. Like, there's no new toothpaste brand. You can't create that. It's a $40 billion category. Like, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you a yes and moment. I went to a giant dental conference, which, by the way, never, ever go to a giant dental conference on a full stomach.
I hear you.
Because when they advertise things at their booth, it's like drilling of, it's just really visually arresting. So I went to this giant distributor for the dental industry of products. And I was like, hey, I'm creating this new product. And, here's what it's going to be about. And they were like, no, you're not. Like, you can just go play in the traffic. There's no new oral care. There hasn't really been a new oral care brand in decades, So I ended up taking a booth at this big conference the following year. And we gave out lots of product. And, we're wearing different clothing. And we're just happy, right? We're just excited and happy. And very few people are happy when it comes to drilling and filling and billing. Right? But we're psyched. So we were 10 people deep at our booth. And the next day, 2 hours before the show floor opened, this particular distributor was like, they were waiting for us at our booth to reintroduce themselves to us. Mm-hmm. Because they were, a little dismissive at first. And lo and behold, there we were. And people kept coming up to saying, how can we get this Hello stuff? So it's a long story, but not that you're asking for a theme. For me, the yes and thing has been my whole life. Like, you just got to build on everything all the time, especially when people tell you can't do stuff.
Yep.
There's no no in the world of the entrepreneur. But the only no is A-N-O-W.
Right.
And either you know and you feel it, or you don't know, and you'll do everything you can to figure out what you do need to know to make it work. So walls are for climbing over or breaking through or digging under or going around.
Yes and.
So,
that's a yes and.
That's it.
Craig, thank you for joining us on Getting to Yes And.
Thank you for having me. This has been a thrill. Seriously. So I'm a huge, huge, huge Second City fan. So I can't even tell you how excited I am. So thank you very, very, very much.
Well, thank you. And if you go to check out Hello, go to www.hello-products.com. It's an awesome website. Do type in Hello because you're really going to love where it takes you to.
That's awesome. Thank you. And if you want to buy some and you can't find it, just ping me. Let me know. I'll find a way to hook you up.
Great. We'll see you next week on Getting to Yes And.
Well, I've been working in a coal mine, going down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
This is Second City Works, Getting to Yes And. You can find us at WGNplus.com. You can stream us on the WGN Plus app, or you can find us on iTunes. See you next week.